Welcome back to the Broke But Woke podcast. I'm your host, your favorite broke adult, Gen Z, with huge dreams, Maciel Nunez, y'all. So if you're an OG Broke But Woke audience member, then you know my entrance is usually welcome back to the Broke But Woke podcast. I'm your host, your favorite broke millennial. Guys, leave it to me to find out a whole season later, a whole couple episodes later. I'm not even a millennial, y'all. I'm not even a millennial. I'm literally at the cusp. I was born in 1997. Your girl is a Gen Z. I associate myself with millennials. But anyways, so I had to change my entire intro when I found that out. I thought that was so funny. That makes me sound not so woke, huh? But anyways, I'm back. The intro's a little bit different. Bear with me. I just want to say I have missed you guys so much. I've missed being in front of this microphone. I've missed planning episodes. I've missed coming up with ideas and just being excited to engage with my little community that I've built. I love engaging with you guys, answering your questions. And my last episode was December 2019. It's been a whole year, y'all. Like, we've gone through a whole pandemic. Like, what? And I was really hard on myself every time I thought about the podcast because I've attempted making this return episode so many times, y'all. Like, at least 8 or 9 times, and I'm not exaggerating. But every time I would bring out my microphone, I just feel like I wasn't giving it my all because I wasn't in the best headspace mentally. I've gone through a lot in this past year, which I'll definitely touch on. I'll give you guys updates. It's not an excuse, but I definitely think I should nurture my mental health. And I must say, I'm really proud of myself for finally doing this with any passion of mine. I don't like to half-ass it. I like to give it my all, and I feel like I'm at a better headspace now where I can talk to you guys and learn with you because, again, I'm a big believer and I don't know everything, but I do want to take my own advice. When people reach out to me and they ask me, oh, Maciel, I want to start a YouTube channel. I want to write a book. I want to start a podcast. My number one advice and first advice is always, okay, get that first video done. Get that first page done. Get that first episode done. Because once you get through that first video or first step, it's a breeze. It's easy. And my return to this podcast has been such a struggle. So today I picked up my microphone and here we are. And I just want to say I missed y'all so much. I'm so excited to get into this episode. I'm calling it New Chapter, Better Me. I'm going to go over some things that you can practice on a day-to-day basis to better yourself, things I'm incorporating in my life. And I'm just so excited to be back. So let's get into it. So I am continuing the low light and highlights of the week and current favorites like I used to do. This week, my low light is I have been fighting a fever and I don't know what it is. I've gotten 2 COVID tests. They came back negative. I took a 3rd one today because my doctor insisted. This is not it, y'all. I do not feel great. I don't feel lovely. However, it kind of goes into my highlight of the week. Me being at home has resulted in me reflecting a lot. And this downtime, I've tried to be as productive as I can be. I've let myself rest, but my highlight is definitely the fact that I'm catching up on a lot with Pulp. And I mean, y'all, I'm recording this episode and I'm just so happy about that. I feel like I'm taking the bad and turning it into a good, you know? So although I'm fighting off a fever, I don't feel 100%. I know I can still give this podcast 100% if I try. So here it is. I'm so excited. Honestly, it sounds cheesy, but this podcast is bringing me so much joy because it's been a goal of mine for over a year to get back, and it just goes to show things can be done. Things can be done. And then finally, my current favorites. I have been watching Being Mary Jane. So good. I used to watch the show a lot, and honestly, I forgot everything that happened in the show. And so I started rewatching it, and it's just so relatable. I feel like now that I'm even older, I know it's only been like a year or so, but every time I watch Being Mary Jane, I just relate to her in one way or another, or different characters in the show. So I definitely recommend it. And then Ginny and Georgia on Netflix. I know it was trending for a while, but I got through that entire show. That's how much I've been at home. But I got through that entire show and I just loved it. I definitely binge watched it. Highly recommend it. And a final current favorite is Jungle. That's a music group. I recommend just looking up Jungle Casio. It's a music video, and just start from there and watch all their music videos. And it's just, it lifts my spirits, y'all. I listen to that song every single day. Shout out to my old roommate, London, because he put me on. And ever since then, and that was back in like 2018, 2019, I listen to this song every single day. So definitely check it out and let me know what you guys think. Also, let me know what you guys think about me putting my lowlights, highlights, and current favorites at the end of the episodes. I know some of y'all probably could care less and just want to get to the good stuff. So I've been considering putting this segment at the end of the episode for anybody that wants suggestions or just, you know, wants this little portion. Let me know what you guys think of that. But let me go ahead and give you guys some life updates now. Again, it's been over a year since we've last spoken. A lot has changed. Last time we were speaking, I was in a relationship. I was living on my own. Things were groovy. We weren't in a pandemic. And yeah, so since then, let's just update y'all. I have moved back to my mom's house. What's crazy is literally shortly after that last episode, I moved back to my mom's house. And it was a really hard time in my life. That was definitely a big reason why I didn't want to get back on the podcast for a while. I just wanted to heal. Reason I moved back to my mom's house is because me and my ex-boyfriend did break up. And luckily, me and him are on good terms, nothing, no bad blood. But at the beginning, there was, you know, some damaged feelings, a lot of healing that had to happen. And I feel like it took literally all of last year, different phases, things I've gone through, which I'm excited to discuss with you guys in some further episodes if you decide to stay along. But I feel like I've learned so much in this singleness, you know, and I feel like everything happens for a reason. I wish nothing but the best for my ex. And as far as me, like, in this past year of me being single, I've just learned so much about myself. I've learned to enjoy my solitude, which I definitely want to talk about that at some point in an episode. I've learned so much of just myself, like, and sometimes it takes that. It takes being alone, hanging out with friends, discovering yourself, trying different things, and it sounds cheesy, but there's so much truth to that. I moved back to my mom's house. I'm not in a relationship right now, and last year when the pandemic started, shortly after, in April, I lost my grandfather to COVID-19, which that was, grief is hard, man, and that's another topic I want to do, for an episode, you know, dealing with grief, and I want to talk to an expert so you guys aren't just hearing what worked for me, but different things that work, because I know this time, this pandemic has been so hard for so many people, so many lives have been lost, and it's so unexpected. I remember when it happened so quickly, and personally, my grandfather, like when I was a baby, he raised me most of my toddler years, and I had a very close relationship with him, and honestly, I'm surprised I'm not even crying talking about it right now, because every time I think of him, I still choke up, and it's been a whole year. It's about to be a year and in a week or so. And so that was incredibly hard. Originally, I was supposed to graduate, I think, fall of last year, and my major, they added classes. It was a mess, and they changed my certificate of leadership to a minor, so that pushed my graduation back to this summer, guys. And I know it sounds like it's not a big deal. Obviously, the end goal is the most important part. I am graduating, but I already felt so behind, like with this podcast and other goals, and it just felt incredibly discouraging, you know, having that be pushed back as well. And then on top of that, I felt like I was failing with Pulp. You know, I added new interns to the team. I lost most of my team towards the end of the last year due to my lack of leadership. And I'm just being honest and raw with y'all. Like, I know online people think I'm perfect, and I try to be as authentic as possible because I don't want anybody to compare their lives to mine when I'm on the same boat as y'all. And my life's not perfect. I'm still learning, and I'm just trying to better myself as well. So yeah, so with Pulp, you know, if you follow my magazine, you've probably seen we haven't posted a lot. I lost a lot of my team after evaluations with them, and a lot of them decided to leave the internship, and I wish nothing but the best for my interns that left. But so I'm working on a revamp for Pulp, though. I'm not giving up. You will see posts soon. I'm speaking it into existence. And then same thing, during the pandemic, I had this brilliant idea of starting a second company, and I was very passionate about it, and I just lost the passion towards it and lost my motivation towards the middle of the year. I don't know what happened. So just so many things I know everybody's life is different. That probably to some people sounds so little compared to what they were going through. But honestly, for me, 2020 had such a damaging toll on my mental health that I felt like with every goal, school, my magazine, YouTube, my second company that I wanted to start, just family life, it was just a downward fall. And it's been a process. I've been healing, I've been working on myself, and I'm just excited to be here and again continue to learn. I feel in a much better headspace now. I always say, and I've said this for years, after the storm comes a rainbow, and 2020 was my storm, and I know my rainbow is still coming. So that is pretty much my life updates. So enough with the negativity, guys. Let's get into new chapter, better me. Things we can do to better ourselves on a day-to-day basis. So the first thing I wrote down for bettering ourselves is accountability. This is something that I am so big on, holding yourself accountable. You know, it's one thing to take constructive criticism and not be on defense mode. It's another thing to hold yourself accountable, count your wrongs, and make them better. So with that being said, what can you work on? What areas in your life can use improvements? I used to be super offended or go into defense mode when people would tell me, you know, Maciel, I don't think this was correct. I don't think the way you handled the situation was right. I think your reactions were poor, because I feel like it's natural to be defensive and assume, you know, it's an attack on your character. When in reality, I feel like a real friend, a real person that cares about you will hold you accountable with love, you know? And so when people hold you accountable, learn from it and hold yourself accountable. And so something I like to do is reflect on the past and things that I can improve on. So for example, I'm not going to give you all of it, but one thing I had to learn to improve on is the way that I react to certain situations. I used to lead with emotion and not really think logically. So out of instinct, as soon as somebody would confront me about something or maybe argue, I would go on full emotional, argue, just, you know, I have an ugly side to me too, guys. It would just trigger me in a way. And I had to learn to fix that not everything deserves a reaction. Not everything needs to be a yelling conversation. You know, I never need to yell to get my point across. I never need to be emotional or distraught to get my point across. If anything, take in the conversation or what's coming at me and evaluate the way I'm reacting to things. And that's something I held myself accountable on. So I want to ask you guys, like, what can you guys work on? What areas in your life can use improvements? This can be on anything, y'all, even financially or goal-wise. You know, even with this podcast, I had to hold myself accountable. Like, Maciel, it's been a whole year, sis. Like, we've been through a whole panini press and you have not made an episode. So it's little things like that. And even financially, that's something I've been trying to improve on. Y'all, the whole podcast is called Broke But Woke for a reason. Your girl has not ever been financially stable. I've been financially well. I've been able to take care of myself and then some. But your girl's trying to be ballin'. And so to do that, you have to have financial discipline, right? So something I've started doing this year is setting up little goals for myself for my saving accounts. And I've reached one of my first goals. I'm really proud of myself. I reached one of them. And with that, I just set a bigger goal for next time. And sometimes I find that when you're setting goals, whether it be financial or just anything, you know, give yourself some room to make it happen. But I sometimes like to put like a timestamp, again, with some flexibility, because sometimes when you put a timestamp, you get really hard on yourself if it's not done by that timestamp. But I do like to put a little timestamp because it pushes me harder to get that financial goal done, if that makes sense. Keep in mind, y'all, again, this is kind of like a returning episode, so I will be mentioning future episodes I'm planning on doing. It's so long overdue with a podcast named Broke But Woke. You'd think I'd do a financial episode by now. And I definitely am planning a couple of different episodes, some financial professionals, their advice on saving, because y'all, it's a struggle out here. It's a struggle, and don't feel bad about it. It's a struggle. So another thing to consider when it comes to accountability, have you made mistakes? If so, keep in mind it's human, but move forward from it, and how can you improve, and how can you prevent yourself from making that mistake? I think a lot of times we make mistakes and we're so hard on ourselves. Like, I am my biggest critic with everything, and I am not perfect, y'all. I have made mistakes, but it's what from that mistake that I learn and apply to my life that matters. You know, I can't let my mistake define me. I can't let my mistakes literally control my life. If anything, I looked at it, it happened. Yes, you're sad for 5 seconds, and then learn from it and grow from it. So that is the premise of holding yourself accountable. Feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to discuss your goals, how, you know, if you need an accountability partner. I believe in those. Like, me and my best friend, we hold ourselves accountable for certain things. So if you need an accountability buddy, feel free to reach out to me, because I would love to hold you accountable to some of your goals. So the next thing I wrote down for bettering ourselves, and I've talked on this so much on my prior episodes, but I'm bringing it back because I am a huge believer in decluttering and nurturing your mental space. I've always said a clean space results in a clear mind. You want to better yourself? You want to be productive? What does the space around you look like? You know, just before this episode, I deep cleaned my room, like deep, deep clean. I feel like I personally can't work or be as productive if there's clutter in my room. And I know everybody's different. Some people are cool with it. But trust me, take some time out of your day to clean your space and you will find yourself being more productive. I've also mentioned before, and this is a great strategy if you're setting up goals for the day and you're struggling to get any goal done, make your first goal of the day making your bed, because it takes 2 minutes and you're going to feel accomplished that the first thing on your to-do list is scratched off. Like, I feel like it's a subconscious thing, probably a psychological thing, but you feel accomplished that the first thing on your to-do list is done and it took 2 minutes. So definitely clean your space, declutter things out of your life. Begin with your clothes, y'all. I'm a big believer in literally decluttering my closet every month. I just did this about a week ago, which is crazy because I literally wear the same 3 outfits every literally all week long. I go to work and then I have my like go-to sweatshirts that I wear. I don't wear anything special, but I still find so much to declutter when I do this and it feels good. I recommend donating the clothes, or if you're in need of extra cash, take it to Plato's Closet, y'all. You can make like an extra $40 to $200 depending on the stuff that you have in your closet and its condition. But I always tend to donate. And then if you have really nice clothes that's still in really good condition and, again, want to make money, like I said, you could go to Plato's or even do Poshmark or Depop. These are apps that you can sell online, and I know so many people that do well off of this. A very popular decluttering method is called the KonMari. I might be butchering her name. Please spare me if I do. But it's a system of simplifying and organizing your home by getting rid of physical items that do not bring joy into your life. It was created by organizing consultant Marie Kondo and described in detail in her best-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So some things that she asks as she's decluttering is, you know, are you going to wear that sweater that's been untouched for in the past 6 months? Like, are you really going to wear this? Have you worn it in the past 3 to 6 months? Does this item still bring you joy? These are things to literally consider when you're decluttering. And I definitely recommend Googling her. There's all these blog posts I know that go into depth about how she declutters. There's a whole show on Netflix, I think, that it's like her going to people's homes and helping them declutter. And you can get so much advice from it. And yeah, overall, I really recommend dedicating at least 1 to 2 days of the week to cleaning your space. It could be something simple as, you know, dusting off your shelves and your desk, or sweeping up and mopping your floor, or folding laundry. Do this, and it is literally so beneficial to your mental space. And then this even goes as far as technical or tech declutter. And this is something I like to do. My whole career literally revolves around the internet, social media, my phone, and it's so easy for it to get filled with unnecessary photos, unnecessary emails. Y'all, with somebody who's in a career space like me, there is nothing more satisfying than seeing that email notification go down, text messages. Something I've noticed in the, I don't want to say influencer, but content creator community, is a lot of people get anxiety opening up DMs and messages. And I thought it was just me. Fun fact about me, and I'm not proud of it, but I am a horrible communicator online. It's something about me opening my phone and seeing so many messages, because every day I get new messages. that just kind of freaks me out. And it's something I'm trying to improve on. If you need tips on that, something I've learned is, one, again, you're not alone. Apparently, this is a very common issue for people who have a career online. But give yourself office hours. So dedicate a day to actually declutter your messages. Try to get, or at least a couple days, because I say day, but I know how hard it is to get through all your messages if there's so much. Give yourself a couple days to catch up on all your messages. That way you have a clean start. And then give yourself office hours. That could be 9 to 5 to answer emails, answer text messages, DMs. And then after 5, don't feel bad if you don't answer. And you have until the next day. And that way you get in a rhythm of just being on top of your messages. You know, like you're setting a goal to get to as much messages as possible by 5 p.m. and not critiquing or being hard on yourself if you don't get to all of them by 5 p.m. So just a little tip if you're struggling with catching up on messages. And then finally, this goes into erasing toxic people from your life. Declutter that. Declutter friendships that no longer value you. Declutter people that no longer serve you. You know, I feel like I'm an empath. I can feel when the vibe isn't groovy. And if somebody starts acting funky, I have been so quick lately to hit that block button or just not talk to people that no longer serve me, because I owe it to myself to protect my space. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't always need an explanation. If you want to take the higher road and, you know, let people know, hey, I don't think this friendship is working out, go for it. But if you love yourself and care about your mental space and somebody is draining you emotionally, you realize their toxic behavior is affecting you and your mood, take initiative, hold yourself accountable, and remove those toxic people from your life. And this just goes back to the social media topic, but give yourself social media breaks. I still have my app open, but I haven't been posting anything. I typically post on my stories. On my personal page, I usually post on my stories. I usually make a post every now and then. And I have felt so liberated not feeling like I need to, which I know I've never had to, but I've given myself like over a week, especially with me being sick. I haven't posted anything. I haven't really engaged with anybody. And I've just been giving myself somewhat of a social media break. Like I still send my friends memes and stuff, but I think it's so easy to compare our lives to other people on social media. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's the truth, and I know I'm not the only one that feels this way. And I don't think it's so much of being insecure. You know, I like myself. I think I'm a cool person, and I am proud of myself. But recently, I've seen people like who've graduated and just are so accomplished, and most of me, 90% of me, is so happy for them, and I hate that 10% of me feels envious. Like that is such an ugly feeling to have, you know? Like I want to be 100% happy for people. I want to spread 100% love. And I catch myself again holding myself accountable, and I catch myself being envious and wishing I was more ahead in my life. And that in itself is a lesson that, one, social media can be a toxic place because it's easy to compare ourselves. And two, I need to learn to, again, just be happy for other people and realize we're on different paths, we're on different wavelengths. And I think taking social media breaks allows you to focus on your goals, for example, such as this podcast, me, you know, trying to revamp Pulp. In those times where I feel myself comparing myself to other people, I literally take a step back, I try to get off of social media and focus on me, because I have it in me to reach my own goals. My life isn't another person's life's journey, you know? I have no reason to compare my life to somebody else, and you don't either. So focus on your own journey. If you need to take away that distraction, which is social media or whatever else, and I know most people have self-control and they don't even compare themselves, but I know there's people that do compare themselves, and I know this because my friends, you know, talk to me about it. It's just so easy to compare ourselves, and I feel like I just rambled. But with that being said, if you feel that social media is becoming a toxic place for you, give yourself a break. Even if it's a couple hours, even if it means not starting your day by picking up your phone, literally give yourself time for you to focus on your goals, to focus on bettering yourself so that you never feel like you're in competition with anybody but the person you were the day before. So the third thing that I wrote down for bettering ourselves is goal setting and an action plan. This whole episode is called New Chapter, New Me, but a new me would be impossible without me setting goals to better myself, without me creating an action plan to achieve those goals. Otherwise, you will remain stagnant in this life, you will not be bettering yourself, and you will find yourself stuck. So that's why it is so important to set goals. So I tend to ask myself, what do I want to accomplish? It can be as big as I want or as small, but I always write my goals down at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the month, literally all the time. Sometimes I get a new goal in my head and I will write it down because I believe there is so much power in writing ideas and thoughts down. So whether it's pen to paper or even in your notes on your phone, I really can't stress this enough. Write your goals down. And I'm going to give you an example of some goals that have come true. And I really do believe it comes through the law of attraction, praying, manifesting, and working towards those goals, y'all. It all goes in hand in hand. So the first goal I'm going to discuss is last year when I was going through my little hiatus, I wasn't posting a lot of YouTube videos, but I, at the beginning of the year, I wrote down a goal of having 10,000 subscribers. Guys, it's so insane how these goals happen for me because I kid you not, it's kind of spooky, but every time I write down a goal, something happens where it just works out in my favor. And I just do believe it's the power of writing things down and working towards those goals and just being a positive person and believing that I am capable of achieving these things. Because you can write down a goal, but if you can't envision yourself actually achieving it, it's not going to be attainable. But anyways, let me continue with my story. So last year, again, I wasn't really posting content or anything, but I did write down that I wanted 10,000 subscribers. I kept planning videos and I was stuck at about 6,400 subscribers. I think last year I posted like two or three videos before this goal was achieved. So around September, I had an older video start to go viral. Super randomly, y'all. I'm telling you, the universe, God, it's crazy. Like when I have a goal, something always happens that it just works out. Like this video randomly went viral. It was a special effects video, obviously closer to Halloween. It kind of made sense, but it was an older video. And it got close to a million views. I think it got like 700 or 800,000 views. But my numbers of subscribers started going up and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to reach my 10,000 goal. Like insane because like what? Like I genuinely started losing hope on that goal. I was like, oh my God, like we're reaching the end of the year and I'm nowhere near it. I was at 6,000. And so I set a goal. This was at the beginning of October. I set a goal. I was like, I'm going to reach that 10,000 subscriber goal by the end of this month. And y'all, I kid you not. I kid you not. Halloween night, I was only a couple subscribers away from the 10,000 subscriber goal, right? Y'all, I woke up that morning, the next morning, November 1st, and I hit exactly 10,000. Like, if that doesn't bring chills down your spine, y'all, like, there is power in writing down and speaking your goals. Like, so much power. You know, there's been instances where I remember when I was working at the car wash, when I was living on my own, I needed an exact amount of money to pay rent or to pay something off our bill, right? And it would be so random that I would wash a car and a client would literally, like clients that day would tip me the exact amount I needed. There's so much power, guys, in setting goals. Like, I don't know how else to, what other example, oh, this is gonna be my other example to y'all. So recently, again, there's been kind of a downfall with Pulp. I'm trying to revamp. I'm trying to get my spirits up, get my team rolling, get things back to how we used to be. Because in 2019, y'all, my magazine was popping. It was last year that we took a downfall because of me. My team was fantastic, but I just was not giving it my all mentally. And I'm going to be 100%. But at the beginning of this year, oh my gosh, y'all, I just, when I think about it, like genuinely, there's just so much power in speaking your goals. So at the beginning of the year, I started applying to different jobs. News reporting jobs that kind of go in hand with my degree. Not because I wanted to quit my magazine. My magazine is my biggest goal, but I just kind of wanted to build my resume for myself. I love to write and I was like, you know, this would be a great experience to at least learn from other platforms. So I started applying and started applying. And I want to say in February, I'm probably mixing up my dates, but just let's just say it was February. I got rejected by, who was it? I got rejected by The Hollywood Reporter. I had applied to Billboard, Vibe, Hollywood Reporter, Hot New Hip Hop. I applied all over the place, y'all. I got rejected, and honestly, I was very discouraged because keep in mind, I was still not doing too great with pulp. I still wasn't doing my best mentally. And 2 weeks before I got rejected, I'm probably telling this story so confusingly, but just hear me out. 2 weeks before I got rejected by that job, I tweeted to Sweetie, the rapper. I was like, Sweetie, I'd love to interview you, help a girl out to like my followers. I was like, help me retweet this. I really want her to see this, and I want to interview her for my podcast or for my magazine. Like, that is a goal of mine. She's just been on my radar because I really do admire her. I think she's killing it. I think she's a great example to other women. And so I sent the tweet. I got a bunch of retweets, but I never heard from her. So keep that in mind. And it really wasn't discouraging because I knew it was a long shot. But honestly, 2 weeks later, I had not forgotten, but I just kind of let that goal simmer and just let it happen when it would happen, right? So that morning, I get rejected by the Hollywood Reporter. And I literally had a moment to myself. I was so bummed, y'all. I had a moment to myself and I just started saying, I was like, there's something bigger in store for me. There is something bigger in store for me. I know it. One door closes, another one opens. Like, this can't, like, I felt so discouraged about this one rejection, guys. And I handle rejection pretty well, but I felt discouraged. And y'all, literally a couple hours later, my phone is just going berserk. And I'm like, what is going on? And I go on Twitter, and my tweet notifications are going wild. And Miss Sweetie saw my tweet and agreed to doing an interview. Guys, what are the chances? Like, I literally wrote down so many tweets. Even before that tweet where I directly spoke to her, I made tweets that I was like, this year I'm going to interview so-and-so, so-and-so. And I put Sweetie on that list. Guys, there's power in speaking your goals into existence. And a couple days later, I interviewed Sweetie. And I remember I had like a deep talk with my best friend. And she just told me, she was like, you speak your goals into existence. That's just what it is. Like, you believe in something. And she, like, it was kind of emotional. I'm not going to give you the whole talk, obviously, because it's like private. But she just told me, like, I am the kind of person that when I say I'm going to do something, y'all, I make it happen. And I want that for you guys so bad. Also, self plug, please watch my Sweetie video. Just look up Sweetie Pulp Magazine. You'll see me interviewing Miss Sweetie herself. Let me know what you guys think of our interview. But anyways, I want this type of, power that you have in yourself for you. And a lot of people are their biggest enemy. They're their biggest block. They are blocking their own blessings by not believing or thinking they're able to achieve things. Again, write down those goals and envision yourself doing it. There's so much power in it. And as you guys can see, I've said it once, I'll say it again. I'm a huge believer in the law of attraction. Think good, you'll receive good. Do good, again, you'll receive good. If you start your day off on a negative note, your day will continue to be negative. And I really do believe that that's the way things work. I have a whole episode about this. If you guys want me to do kind of an updated episode, I can do that. But it's one of my older episodes. If you want more information on how I practice the law of attraction, how I incorporate manifesting, praying, and just an action plan, so much goes into it. But again, so much power in that. Another thing I encourage y'all to do if you haven't yet this year is create a vision board. I've discussed it before, but one time I made a vision board and like a good chunk of things on there came true. So pretty much a vision board, you put pictures of things you would like to achieve, goals for yourself, and the idea is by you seeing this every day is a way of you manifesting it into your life. And I believe in it. I actually want to make one very soon. I haven't made a vision board since I moved back to my mom's house, and I feel like that would kind of lift my spirits. Just even if you don't believe in the law of attraction, it's a great reminder to push towards your goals. It's a great reminder of the why you wake up in the morning and the things you want to achieve. So I highly encourage doing that. Another thing with goal setting is affirmations. It goes hand in hand with the idea of envisioning yourself doing the things you want in life. Affirm that you're going to be great. Affirm that you will be successful. Affirm. There was like a TikTok trend that was going viral, and it was like, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am rich, I am that. I'm sure you guys have heard it. But I love that because you really need to look at yourself in the mirror and believe that. Like, everything I want in this world is attainable. It's in my hands. What matters is what I do to achieve it. and it's mine. Like, no goal is too big. I've like one thing I'm big on is the idea that we limit ourselves. You know, what one person thinks they can't reach, that has nothing to do with you. Just because one person doesn't think that they can be a published author, that's got nothing to do with you. That has a lot to do with their limitations on themselves. But you, however, you will look yourself in the mirror and you will tell yourself, I will be a published author, because these goals are attainable as long as you believe it, affirm it into your life. And yeah, the power is within you. As cheesy, corny as that sounds, y'all, there is so much power in it. And finally, an action plan is so important with that. You know, it's easy to set goals for yourself, but what are you doing to attain these things? You know, it's easy to write down, I want to be fit and healthy, but if you're sitting every day, girl, sorry, it's just not going to happen. You could do some laser lipo sessions, and sure, like, you're going to slim down a little bit, but you got to do some activity. So what is the action plan? You know, as soon as I write down a goal, for example, this podcast episode, I got back on my laptop and I created my notes. I was like, okay, this is my action plan. This is what I'm going to do to make this happen. With my pulp revamp, literally the other day, I've been working on my revamp for a while, but I wrote down like a specific action plan that I want to incorporate, because it's easy to say you want something, but what are you going to do? What is your part to make the goal itself come true? All right, y'all. So the final thing that I wrote down for bettering ourselves is taking care of yourself and doing things that make you happy in the midst of chaos. What brings you genuine joy? Like, I encourage y'all, after you listen to this episode, write down things that make you happy. It can be simple things like puppies, ice cream, seeing a partner, being around your loved ones, watching a movie. Write those things down and accomplish at least one of those things from the list at least once a week. For me, again, I've really learned to value my alone time, and I love walking at the park right now. It's pollen season and that just ain't the move. So I like going to the gym too, but the past, again, week, I've been super sick. So something else that brings me joy is watching movies and binge watching shows. Like, I don't even need people. Like, I just love to watch movies and be at home and just enjoy my alone time. I like to, you know, read different blogs. I like to read a book. I like to write poetry. I like spending time alone. But with that, I do think it's important to surround yourself with people who care and love you. So, you know, once a week, I do try to go eat with a friend, or, you know, I visit my best friend at her house. I used to do that at least once a week. You know, I'd go to her house, or my best friend Elizabeth would come over. It's good to surround yourself with people as well. So find things that you love to do and take care of yourself. Lately, something I've been saying a lot is keep your inner child alive. Feed your inner child. Keep your inner child happy. But more than anything, keep your inner child alive, because the older we get, with more responsibilities, with jobs, with school, with, you know, things that don't bring us joy, it's so easy to lose our inner child. So that's why I like to do little things that, you know, make me think of young Maciel. Like, little Maciel was so happy, and it's kind of sad to think, like, when you're a kid, the world is so much brighter. When you're a kid, you have so little responsibilities, and all you care about is being happy and being around friends and doing, literally, you value and take care of yourself by doing things you love. And I think we have lost that essence as we've gotten older, and it's important to feed our inner child and do things we love. Buy yourself ice cream, you know, like, do things that make you happy and make the younger version of you just blurt out in joy. So think about that. I definitely recommend incorporating that, doing at least one of those things once a week. Of course, be safe while you do it. But yeah, and another thing that I wrote down is allow yourself to have a self-care routine and try to push yourself to do it at least once a month. Something that my self-care, or what my self-care day would look like, is me getting my nails done. Y'all, my nails are looking so rough right now, but I love to get my nails done every 2 weeks. It's me pampering myself, loving myself, doing something that brings me joy. I like to get my hands done. I like to get my feet done once a month. At my job, I work at a medical spa. I like to get my monthly facial. There's nothing better than, like, seeing all that gunk get out of my face and feeling bright and beautiful and having those conversations with the estheticians at my job. Like, I love that. I like to spend time reading. Right now, I'm reading a book called All About Love, and it's so good, and it just brings me joy. Another thing I like to do is planning an hour with no phone. because I've learned that I do get very anxious from social media and from my messages. And sometimes I put my phone away, and again, I'll watch a movie. I'll make comfort food. I'll do something that's dedicated to me not being on my phone. So whatever your self-care routine would look like, allow yourself to achieve that and dedicate at least one day out of the month to making that self-care routine happen for your mental state, because you deserve it. I also wanted to just throw this in there. Remind yourself it's okay to feel. You know, I've spoken a lot about ways we can better ourselves, ways to bring up our frequency and be happy, but remind yourself that it's okay to be down as well. It's okay to feel your feelings. Again, last year I lost my grandfather, and I literally gave myself a week to grieve, a week to cry, a week to reflect on, you know, how I feel about the situation. Allow yourself to feel, you know, whether it's a breakup, you know, I allowed myself time to really reflect on why we broke up, you know, things I could have improved, things he could have improved on. I allow myself to feel, and I feel like that in itself is a healing mechanism. It's a coping mechanism, is allowing myself to feel whatever it is I'm feeling. You know, one day I might wake up super angry, and the next day I might be happy, but I'm allowing myself to feel whatever it is that is coming to me naturally. And I've always said I'm a big, big, big fan of therapy. Nothing against people that don't go to therapy, but I do believe the people that need therapy the most are the ones that are against it. But I think everybody can use therapy. Think of it as maintenance. Think of it as like car maintenance. You know, you gotta go get your oil in your car. You gotta go get things fixed in your car every now and then. Sometimes you need to do pest control at your house. This is maintenance for your inner child, for yourself, for your feelings. And I think a common misconception is that you have to be crazy or have prominent issues in your life to go to therapy. And that is not the case. Like, also keep in mind when it comes to therapy, again, I want to do so many different episodes. I think I am going to do an episode dedicated to therapy, because there's just so much that goes into it. You can't trust every therapist. Not every therapist is going to work with each candidate, you know? And I think a lot of people start therapy, and sometimes, unfortunately, that's something that happens to them. They don't feel comfortable opening up to a certain person, or they can't connect, and then they throw off the idea of therapy altogether. So there's so much that goes into it. Do your research, find a therapist that works for you, and remind yourself that it's maintenance. You're not crazy. Everybody goes through things, and this is you literally holding yourself accountable and just taking care of you. And you should be so proud of that. If you're opposed to therapy, definitely do some like reading, read about different issues or traumas, learn about yourself. Again, in the singleness, I have just learned so much about myself, things I want, new boundaries I've set, standards, like past traumas from my childhood and my dad, and just things, you know. Again, therapy and learning about yourself is maintenance more than anything. I'm going to end this episode with some personal goals, and I'm hoping that it just inspires you to create goals for yourself. I know some people set a strict list of goals for themselves at the beginning of the year. Right now we're in April, but it's never too late to pick up a pen and set little goals. Like, it can be something as random as I'm going to drink 5 glasses of water a day. Whatever you think is going to help better you. And maybe from this list of goals, you'll gain inspiration and add things to your list. So for me, I want to value self-care more time alone, pampering myself, reading, truly speaking my affirmations, and learning to love myself. I want to be a better friend. I want to check on people, make time for others, because I've learned that when I am very stressed out, I can distance myself, and I can be a bad friend by not checking in on the people that I care about because I'm so focused on myself. Financial growth and freedom. I want to pay off my credit card, which, guys, I think I want to do that in like 2 weeks, and I'm really excited. And I want to feel financially stable this year, which I know I can do. Originally, I wanted to do one trip per month. I wrote that goal, y'all. I made this like note sheet and added stuff to it at the beginning of last year because, again, I thought I'd be back on my podcast by January of last year. But of course, we got hit with a panorama, so that's not going to happen. But I definitely do want to take a trip this year in safe ways. I want magazine growth, podcast growth, and this is the first step to that podcast growth. Thank you so much for sharing this moment with me. I definitely want to start my second company. I want to finish book number 2, y'all. This book has been in the works since 2018. Oh, yo, like, wow. Okay, I need to finish this book, but it's going to happen. And then finally, my biggest goal is I just want to graduate. I want to get graduation over with. I'm so proud of myself that even though it took me 6 years, I'm going to walk and get that diploma. I worked very hard. I'm going to have a bachelor's in journalism and emerging media and a minor in leadership studies. And just know this girl worked so hard for that degree, went through so many hurdles, so many new classes, and took classes that didn't even count. And y'all, it's just going to be a moment. But anyways, those are my personal goals. I really encourage you guys after this episode to write goals for yourself, even if you have to just pull out your phone and write some goals down. And believe me when I say there is power in writing those goals out. Hold yourself accountable, declutter your space, take care of your mental space, take care of yourself, do things that make you happy, dedicate a day out of the month, at least a day, to a self-care routine, and remind yourself it is okay to feel. Anyways, you guys, I love y'all so much. Thank you so much for being with me on my episode back. I feel kind of emotional right now because I missed being in front of a microphone. I almost said camera because I have a YouTube brain, but I missed being in front of a microphone. I feel like this first episode was great, but I'm always open to feedback. Again, this podcast is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and really I think on most streaming services. Please, if you have an Apple device or anywhere that you can leave a review, please leave a review. It helps me out a ton. I'd love your honest feedback, what you guys thought of my first episode back. Please, please, please do that because it would mean a lot to me. And my quote for the end of this episode is, "Begin with the end in mind." And that is by Stephen Covey. I might be butchering his last name, but I love this because when you set goals, like I said, you have to envision yourself at that finish line and with that goal in hand. So begin with the end in mind. All right, guys, I will catch you guys next week. So excited to be back, and thank you so much for welcoming me. This has been the Broke But Woke podcast, and I love you guys.